Nearly a decade ago, then-Governor Andrew Cuomo pitched the idea of a $225 million state investment toward the creation of an anchor hub for high-tech and green energy businesses in the city of Buffalo. Fast forward to today, and the project, once declared a game-changer, appears to have fallen short of the vision from the former governor and the state's one-time high-tech czar, Dr. Elaine Calieros, according to reporting by the nonprofit news outlet The Investigative Post, which has persistently followed this project. For more on the matter, we're turning to Investigative Post editor and executive director, Jim Heaney. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Nice to be back.
So back in November of 2013, this project was framed as an investment in making New York a leader in the next wave of solar adoption in homes and businesses nationwide, and there was an expectation of creating 850 permanent jobs, at least 500 construction jobs, and attracting additional manufacturing companies to this site in Buffalo. How much of that dream has been realized in the following 9-plus years?
Practically none of it. The problem is that the project grew from its initial announcement. The state poured in a lot more money. They wound up spending just shy of $1 billion to build and equip the plant for Solar City, which was eventually bought out by its cousin company, Tesla. The plant has reached its employment goals. They were supposed to employ 1,460 people. They are employing that, but less than a quarter of those folks are engaged in solar manufacturing. Most of it is related to Tesla's electric car, actually feeding information into their software for self-driving cars and assembling charging equipment for the cars. So as a result, there is no solar sector here. There is none of the spinoff. You know, it was sold not only will you get these jobs at the factory, but you'll get a whole supply chain economy. Thousands of additional jobs. None of that has happened. Across the street, behind the plant, next to the plant, it's all vacant land, except for Tim Hortons. You know, I guess it created some fast food jobs at a donut shop. But that's it. So I don't think it's unfair to call the project a bust. And when you combine that with the corruption that occurred, the bid rigging that resulted in convictions of Calieros and others, I don't think this could have turned out much worse than it has.
And is it clear why the situation is the way it is? Is it a product of a contract with these private companies that was too lax in its oversight and expectations? Was there some sort of transition made along the way where the state thought, okay, let's get into the electric car business instead? What, if anything, can we point to that explains why this is what this site looks like today?
Well, the solar business just didn't take off. And that could have been predicted, you know, if there had been any kind of due diligence by the state prior to inking this deal. At the time, Solar City was losing a ton of money, was billions of dollars in debt, was a struggling, one could argue, failing company, and yet the state poured $1 billion into building and equipping it a facility. So it was a risky bet. The bet has not paid off.
And from the reporting that you and others in Investigative Post have done about this site, is there any indication of future state investments to try to rekindle development here, or is the state essentially walking away from this property?
Well, I had a local economic development official tell me several years back that another part of the problem was the company was not successful. The other part, and this economic development official told me, was that there was no real effort on the part of the state to maximize the spinoff. As he put it, all the governor and his people cared about was the press conference. They had the groundbreaking and everybody showed up. They had ribbon cuttings, whatever. All Cuomo wanted was the good press. And the state dropped the ball and didn't really do anything to help leverage what could have been there. But I think at the root of it was the solar business was not in a position to drive the kind of growth that had been promised.
Well, I want to pivot away from this site and turn to development in Niagara County that appears to be spurred on by, at least in part, some of the reporting from Investigative Post. And this has to do with legislation that was recently introduced that is designed to close a so-called loophole in tax breaks designed to not be used by restaurants. Can you kind of give the backstory here that prompted action from State Senator Sean Ryan and Assemblymember Jonathan Rivera?
Yeah, Dale Shoemaker, my reporter on economic development issues, broke something a couple weeks ago. The Niagara County IDA approved tax breaks worth just shy of $200,000 to help facilitate a couple of fast food restaurants opening up in downtown Niagara Falls. They're doing it under the guise of the area they're located in would be distressed, and it would somehow help promote tourism. I don't know how a hamburger joint promotes tourism, but that's their argument. And my reporter quizzed the developer who was receiving the tax breaks, and he said, you know, the tax breaks would be nice. I don't need them to go forward, but they would be nice. Now, there's a problem with that. Under the state IDA law, projects can only receive tax breaks if they're deemed necessary for the project to move forward. It's called the but-for clause. So this guy admitted that he didn't need it. That means he shouldn't be getting them. But the IDA went ahead anyways. So now, you know, Sean Ryan has stepped in. Sean's got an important committee chairmanship now overseeing issues like economic development subsidies. His proposed legislation would require that when a retailer wants to locate in a distressed area, the IDA would have to engage with a consultant to document whether or not that project would actually help alleviate poverty. The senator, anyways, thinks that, you know, those types of projects will no longer receive the blessing of the IDA based on the feedback from the consultant.
Well, as someone who's covered economic development initiatives for years, up and down the line from the local initiatives to the hundreds of millions, if not billions, from state and federal officials. Is this kind of a hallmark of economic development officials who can't help themselves but try to find new ways to give handouts? Or is it the case where they are just doing what is necessary to promote growth?
No, they like handing out goodies. The same IDA, the Niagara County IDA, last summer approved more than $100 million in tax breaks for Amazon to build a warehouse in Niagara County. And Amazon made the same claim. Oh, we couldn't afford to build this without tax breaks. Really? Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, can't afford to build a warehouse? You know, developers have learned how to play the game, and economic development agencies have learned to turn the blind eye. And the losers in this are taxpayers, because for every tax dollar that doesn't get collected, somebody else has to pick up the slack. That's local businesses. That's local homeowners, you know, who are paying property taxes. New York State is hooked on these subsidies. And while some people pay reduced taxes, others, the rest of us, pay pretty high taxes. And look at the upstate economy. Is it working? It certainly is not working.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Heaney. He's the editor and executive director of Investigative Post, a nonprofit news outlet that you can find at investigativepost.org. Jim, thank you so much for making the time, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Support for Capital Pressroom provided by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. Communities across the Empire State have stories to tell. A roadside marker funded by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation can help your town or city educate the public, encourage pride of place, and promote local tourism. More about the Pomeroy Foundation's New York State Historic Marker Grant Program for 501c3 organizations, nonprofit academic institutions, and local, state, and federal government entities at wgpfoundation.org.